Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's my pleasure to be able to hang around with you today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to check it out. When you get a chance, check that site out and noodle around there. It's pretty much entrepreneurial heaven, folks, when you get there. Just about anything you'd want to find to start, run, and grow your small business, you'll find there. Archives, articles, lots of stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And by the way, if you subscribe this week, you'll get my traditional Thanksgiving message. And a lot of you have written to say how much you enjoy that, and I appreciate those comments. Bob Negan is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's an old friend of ours, and this guy's one of my heroes, folks, because this guy figured out how to make a living selling kites 12 months out of the year. Anybody who can do that can do anything. He now has his own company. He and his wife Susan have their own company where they help small businesses and well, lots of different kinds of folks put their best foot forward. It's called Whiz Bang Training. Bob Negan, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. I am glad to be here, as always.
It's good to have you back. Bob, I know that you want to talk about how we can take care of our customers, and I want to get into that in a little bit. But before we do, folks, I don't envy too many people. You've heard me say before that I have a friend who played golf with Arnold Palmer. I envy him for that. But Bob, you just got back from Orlando, Florida, and you did something that I'm kind of envious of, and I got to figure out how to get there next year. Tell us what you did.
Well, Jim, I was the keynote speaker at the National Ice Cream Retailers Association, NICRA.
Man.
So I was with those fine folks for a day and a half, and we did some business building stuff, but I was fortunate enough to get in on the new flavor of the year contest. And, of course, when you walk the trade show floor, everybody's hawking their wares. And you know the old saying, wait, if you sample, you sell.
Oh, man, do
so
your worst.
I did a lot of sampling.
Do your worst. Golly. What? You got to get me invited. I would tell you, can tell those guys I'd work for free if they invite me.
I will do that.
Did you make them pay you, Bob?
Well, I didn't make them, but they offered to.
Oh,
and during the course of those conversations, that's what happened.
So let me see if I got this straight. You got paid to travel to Orlando to eat a bunch of ice cream and to say a couple of words while you were down there, and then they wrote you a check, too? It doesn't get any better than that.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
The only thing will be comparable would be the National Donut Association.
Well, I'm working on them also.
Ice cream. You know, that's my downfall, Bob.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Well then.
Yeah, I fight that pretty hard every day.
Yes. Well, and, you know, the other nice thing about it, Jim, is that the ice cream people truly are. They're great people.
Really sweet people, aren't they, Bob?
You have a smile on your face.
they're really sweet, aren't they?
They are.
Okay, now that we've got that out of the way, I hope you'll pass my name along.
I will pass your name along.
Tell them I'll give them a big discount.
Okay.
You know, I could never be in the ice cream business, Bob. I'd eat up all my profit.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Okay. Bob, in the previous segment, I would talk to my audience about the importance of being a serious business owner without taking yourself too seriously. Now, anybody who learned how to make a living, who was able to make a living selling kites 12 months out of the year, has got to be somebody that, I mean, you talked to us about this in the past, about the importance of these kinds of things. Would you talk to us about how you were able to sell kites 12 months out of the year?
Well, sure. Actually, it's interesting that you ask that, because one of the things that we had to realize, and it took us several years to realize it. First of all, when we got in the kite business, we were in the kite business, by golly. You know, we were purists. And then after several years of really struggling just being a purist, a pure kite shop, we started to sell little novelty toys. And they went really, really well. And one day, I had an epiphany. I had this moment of insight where I went, wait a second. We're not in the kite business. We're in the business of fun. And so, you know, a kite is merely a piece of cloth you put up in the air. But what we were really selling was families getting together and going out and having time together. Or, you know, an excuse to go outside and enjoy the sunshine.
That's like when the railroad industry figured out they weren't in the railroad business,
that's
they were in the transportation business.
That's the exact same story. So once I understood the business I was in, then we became more than a kite store. Then we became a toy store also. And then slowly, I mean, we always maintained our identity as a kite store, the Mackinac Kite Company, but then slowly we evolved into a full-on toy store. But we took the same lessons we learned in the kite business, which is it's all about experience and salesmanship and showmanship and all those things, but we applied it to the toy business.
Hold on to that thought, Bob. We got Bob, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Bob Nagin. Stay with us. We've got more fun to come. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bob Nagin. He and his wife Susan have an outstanding organization called Whiz Bang Training, and you know it's good. It's a great organization, folks. If they get invited to go speak to the ice cream people, that's impressive. All the things that you've told me you did, Bob. I guess I got to be the most impressed about that. But let's talk some more about how when you were in the kite business, you were talking about that you realized that you had you weren't just in the kite business, you were in the fun business. But you had to do something. You had to be able to do something in those days to get those customers not only to come into your store, but to come back to your store.
Yeah.
And even though you were in the fun business, and there are people out there who are in the plumbing supplies business, or they're in the shoe business, or the or tire business, or dry cleaning, or whatever, and those typically aren't seen as fun types of businesses. What did you learn when you were in the kite and the yo-yo business that would help us do a better job of delivering excellent customer care to our customers? What can we do by taking some of the things that you learned and transferring it to our businesses?
Sure, sure. Well, there's a couple of things. The first thing to talk about is the experience. And I don't care if you're in the plumbing supply business, the shoe business, the tire business, the customer always wants something. And they want something more than what you sell.
Mm-hmm.
They want an experience. In the kite business, what we learned the very first year, right away in the beginning, was we fly them, they buy them. So what we did, there was right across from the street from us, we would launch our kites and put a bunch of wind socks, essentially tails, on the string. And then we'd tie the kite string to our building.
Mm-hmm.
And then people could see it. And they'd come in, and then when they'd come in, we'd give them an experience. And when I say an experience, we would get out on the floor, and we would show them stuff, we would demonstrate stuff, we were super friendly, you know, we were working the deal, we were shaking hands and kissing babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't care if you're selling tires, or I don't care what you sell, you need to do more than a transaction. You need to do more than, you know, put on the tires and take their money. You need to create energy. You need to have fun. And not just for your customer's sake, but for your sake and the people you work with, too. Think about it. You're spending 40, 50 hours a week together. Shouldn't you have fun? I would say yes. So what we learned is, first of all, you need to create an experience. Because like I told my people, every day, nobody needs a kite.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, you need to create an experience, and then to follow up on that, you need to proactively develop relationships with these people. That's how you grow your business.
Well, and the other thing, Bob, you talk about, you're saying nobody needs a kite. The truth is nobody has to do business with any of us.
That you are absolutely
no matter what
correct.
You sell, and it's more true today than ever before. Nobody has to do business with any of us. Everybody has all these choices. Why would they come back to us? Do you think it's for the stuff that you sell?
That's right.
It's what you said, Bob. It's the experience. And
you know,
especially especially when they need something more than just to buy something from you, like if they need it fixed or if they need it replaced or if they need or something went wrong or they didn't get the experience that they got first wasn't the one they expected. And, you know, and then how do you deal with that?
You know, you're absolutely correct. You hit on a very important point, is because one of the opportunities that we have as small business people is the opportunity to understand our customers better. So if I go online to buy something, rarely or it's impossible for them to truly engage me in a conversation and understand what I need. So, for instance, if you go to a superstore and buy a rose, let's say you want to become a rose gardener. You go to a superstore and buy a rose, you know, you bring it up to the counter, you pay for it, you go home and you bring it, you put it in the ground. That does not make you a rose gardener.
And the change that hits you, that the thing you feel in, that hit you in the back when you leave is your change.
That's right. That's it. But if you're a small business person, you get a chance to get out there on your sales floor, or if you're not a retailer, you get a chance to talk to your customer on the phone or take them out to lunch or take them out to dinner and understand what the opportunity is. If I want to be a rose gardener, I need more than a rose. I need books on rose gardening. I need the gloves. I need the shears. I need the fertilizer. And so that's how we're able to build our average sale and give our customers better experience at the same time.
So well, and they feel like that you're invested in their project.
Because you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's what I tell clients all the time. Love your customers, the money will follow.
Right.
You know, so, you know, if I get out on the floor and I work in a garden center and all of a sudden I'm chatting you up and I understand that, you know, your great-grandmother had 20 acres of roses and you happen to have 60 acres that you want to turn into roses, and I know that's a far-fetched scenario, all of a sudden I have, you know, made that sale something of value, of real significance. So it really is about getting out there and understanding your customers better, which is what the internet can't do, which is what the big stores don't do, which is what, you know, as small business people, our opportunity lies in developing, first of all, giving your customer an experience that makes them feel good about you, and then proactively developing those relationships to get the long lifetime value.
Absolutely. Bob, give us your website, please.
It's www.whizbangtraining.com.
W-H-I-Z.
W-H-I-Z. Bang.
Bangtraining.com. Check it out when you get a chance. When we come back, we're going to get Bob to tell us some more about how to make sure that we take good care of our customers while we're also being serious business owners who don't take ourselves too seriously. Tintail, stay with us.
Every night I have myself.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bob Negan. He's the president of WhizBang Training, and their website is whizbangtraining.com. Bob just got back from the Ice Cream Makers Convention, I guess. What was the official name of that group?
The National Ice Cream Retailers Association, NICRA.
How was the rum raisin? Did they have any rum raisin down there?
Jim, you sound like you're turning green with jealousy.
How was the butter pecan? Those are my two favorites.
I have
three favorites: butter pecan, rum raisin, and mint chocolate chip. Well, I'm going to have to go down there next time. Hey, Bob, one of the things that I really like to see in a small business is people having fun.
Yes.
And don't you think that having fun is not only good for our souls and for the souls of our employees, but don't you think that that's one of the things that we can do in our business to bring customers back?
Oh, absolutely.
To let them see you having fun, enjoying yourself. How you handle a tough situation. If a customer, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, you're not judged by how you handle things when things are going well, but rather by how you handle things when they're not going so well.
That's right. Oh no, I couldn't agree with you more. Like, you know, as we talked about, you know, a little earlier, You know, I don't care what business you're in. You know, if you have an insurance agency and the person who picks up the phone sounds fun and enthusiastic and cares and, you know, asks about the kids and does all those sorts of things, people are going to want to do business with you. You know, the only advantage, the only competitive advantage we have as small business people, really, you know, I mean, there's little nuances to this statement, of course, is our ability to develop relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're going to have a relationship, who wants to have a relationship with a grump? Who wants to have a relationship with somebody who doesn't care?
And what better way to neutralize a problem, a customer complaint or whatever, is if they come back to you with an attitude that, you know, you're an okay person. You got a good business here. We just had something that didn't go well. If they know that you're going to that they're bringing you back a complaint or whatever it might be to a company that's where there are happy people, where they're your friends. I mean, don't you have a leg up on solving that problem already?
Absolutely. So now let's talk about that for just a minute, Jim, because here's when I do a customer service workshop, I say to people, I say, so what's the first thing you should say when somebody comes to you with a complaint? And most, you know, raise their hand and say, I'm sorry. And that's the incorrect answer, because the correct answer when somebody comes to you with a complaint is thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone comes to you with a complaint, that means that they're hoping that you can solve it together. So if somebody comes to you with a complaint, you say, thank you very much. You're good. Now we can find out what's wrong and solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
You've gone so far. Now you're allies in this whole process of solving the customer's problem. And here's a statistic that your readers should know. Someone who has had a problem solved to their satisfaction, you know, they've come to you with a problem and you've solved to their satisfaction, will on average spend three times as much as someone who hasn't had a problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, the economics are there.
That's pretty compelling. Bob, what do you think about when you say, thank you for bringing this to our attention, we're glad we have an opportunity to fix this, what do you think about the next thing being, what would you like for me to do?
Oh.
What do you think?
Jim, you just took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No. Oh, that's quite all right, but that's exactly the correct response. And here's something interesting.
It might be less than you would have done for him or her anyway.
Precisely. That's what I was just going to say. I did a workshop, and there was somebody from a casino here in Michigan in the audience. And she raised her hand and said, you know, for a long time we had a standard response to a complaint. Let's say you had a problem with the food, they would comp your meal. So they had a set response. And she said once they started asking, and they were tracking all this, once they started asking, what would you like me to do, they found that the request was much less,
mm-hmm.
almost half as much as the predetermined response.
So it's thank you for bringing this to us. I'm glad we have an opportunity to fix this. What would make you happy? How can we make this work?
That's right.
We've got to wrap it up. Give us your website one more time, please.
www.whizbangtraining.com.
Will you come back another day?
I would be happy to, Jim. I would love to.
Well, come back after, especially after you've been to the donut menu retailers.
All right.
See you later. Bob Negan, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.